great is our God. Y'all give it up for the men's chorus at the Shiloh Baptist Church. On this Father, grateful for the men who don't mind singing to the glory of God. How many of you know it's a beautiful thing when you've got a choir loft full of men singing to God's glory? Somebody give it up for the men of Shiloh's male chorus. In the blessed name of Jesus, we thank God for each one of them. And I call them out by name. I'm going to do that now. Wesley Melvin, Granville Mayo, Willie Hood, Marvin Ross, Arthur Cullen III, Damian Perron, Brother Ricky Hearns, Brother Herb Bolden, Fred Taylor, Seymour Hunley, Derek Taylor, Derek Davis, Wayne Sneed, and give it up for Brother Mark Ness. Give it up for the men of the Shiloh Baptist Church male chorus. Very proud of them, and certainly the musicians notwithstanding, Wayne Teal, Billy Robinson, Alistair Fain, and Brother Scotty Trent. We thank God for all of them. And for you men, if you are a father, all men stand. All men of Shiloh, would you stand? All men of Shiloh, would you stand? All the men. Listen, keep standing. You may not have given birth or participated in the birth of a child, but I am confident that if you are a man standing, you have invested into some man, some boy or girl's life. And if you have done that as a mentor, as a big brother, big sister, as a friend, coach, you name it, we thank God for you. You are a father figure to a young boy or a young girl, and God is to be glorified because of you. Happy Father's Day. Give it up for the men of our church all over the sanctuary. All over the sanctuary. Happy Father's Day to the men of the Shiloh Baptist Church. Now, I think we have all of our babies here. Is that right? Hollis family, are we here? All right. So what I want to do is to invite you all to stand to your feet. Let's have everyone stand, if you don't mind. I'm going to invite your attention to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. As you're standing, it's so good to see some of our former leaders, Deacon Jerry and former deaconess Gwendolyn Long Harris. Y'all give a hand wave over here to my right. To God be the glory for the two of them. They're all the way up from James Island, South Carolina, just outside of Charleston. It's also good to see Brother James Hall, who's been out for nearly 6 to 9 months. And he had been in ICU. If you had seen him, you are looking at a miracle right now with Brother Hall standing in the back of the sanctuary. God bless you, Brother Hall. Bless you. And it's good to see Peter Parham, who had recently been hospitalized. So many testimonies all over the sanctuary, the Mitchell family, the Parham family, the Hall family. We thank God for all of you. Now, this 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want us all to turn in your Bibles there, but I more importantly want you to help me recite it together. And it is the Lord's Prayer. It is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And I'm confident that most, if not all, have committed this prayer to memory. So even though I have it on the screens, it starts with Our Father. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But let's recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and God keep you. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. Would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, The Paternity of God. The Paternity of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that these words would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended. May hearts be encouraged. May minds be illuminated. May souls be convicted. We thank you for this, the words that you have given. And we ask now that they indeed will touch everybody and maybe that they would cause somebody to be saved. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ and I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. This all we pray in Jesus' name. Let us say together, amen, amen. And amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Yvette, I need you to just do a little double check for us to make sure, okay? Today is Father's Day. Like Mother's Day, it is a day where we try to focus on the men of our congregation. Like on Mother's Day, we focus on the women of our congregation. And we know that not every woman might be a mother biologically, and we know that every man may not be a father biologically, but it is these 2 days that probably more so than all the other days of the year that allows us to really hone in and say thank you mama and or thank you daddy. And again, it may not be that those words are relevant for you because you may not have had a mother or a father in your life. But what I am convinced that if we look deep enough, we can find a man who has played the role of a father in our lives. And so if you were like me and may not have met your father until I was 21, some of you, I've heard your testimony, you have never met your father. And there's the reverse is true for mothers, although it is more likely that we know our mothers than it is we know our fathers. Statistics tell us that 7 out of 10 black children in America are still born out of wedlock. In point of fact, it's up to 72%, a number that has not changed over the 30 years that I've been monitoring it, or 20 plus years that I've been monitoring it. And yet what we do know is that just because one may have been raised by a single parent, a mother, in more cases than not, than a father, that does not mean that that mother or father was inadequate of raising that child. Some say, can a woman raise a man? Of course she can. Can a man raise a daughter? Of course he can. But what we do know from social scientists is that there's something called father absence and something called mother absence. What happens to a child when they don't have their father in their lives? Does that young boy or that young girl grow up with a deficit of any type, trying to calibrate and recalibrate their relationships with the opposite sex or even with the same sex because they've never had that man pour into them and help them understand what it means to be a man? Or how about that young girl who, because of father absence, may not understand what it means to have a man love her because she's never had her father love her, and so therefore she is prone potentially to the wrong kind of love given by some men. And so whether it is father absence or mother absence, it is a reality that millions of children in America and around the world are growing up perhaps under that moniker. But here's the one thing that I always say, that even when mother may not have been there or when father may not have been there, we always have what my preacher used to say to me, that God will be a mother when you don't have one, and God will be a father if you don't have one. Do I have a witness in the sanctuary? So for me, I grew up with a real sense, not knowing daddy until I was 21, taken away from mama, put in a couple foster homes, and wondering what was going on. My pastor used to say it regularly, not even knowing I was sitting in the audience, never knowing that I was a kid going through transition of family and foster care. When I heard him say those words, God would be a mother when you don't have one, God would be a father, that touched my life. And at the age of 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, I believed that. I grabbed hold to that. And in many ways, I understood at a younger age that even if God wasn't coming down from heaven, God would send somebody who could be his hands and his feet to help me in my situation. And so if I can convey that message to other young boys and young girls, that the Bible says two mentionings of fathers that are critical. Number one, in this particular text in Exodus chapter 20, I should say, when the Bible says that we are to honor our mothers and our fathers, that our days may be long upon the land the Lord God gives unto us, then whether or not they were there, we still give some level of respect to them. Even in our anger, the reality is they may go on rolling like a rolling stone and we're left broken picking up a bunch of pieces. And it's not until we get some level of reconciliation and forgiveness to them that may have hurt us, we may live our lives out of a constant reservoir of hurt and pain. That's why we've got to understand that as much as they may not have been there, to get to a point where we can still say, I love them anyhow, is a point of our healing. That's why I love the Bible. It doesn't say love mom and daddy for them. It says love mom and daddy for you. In many respects, you can almost insert the phrase, forgive mama and daddy. But then don't be so arrogant, because what are we forgiving them for? Good, bad, and indifferent, one might come to the conclusion that without them we wouldn't be here. So we got here because of somebody. And that somebody we must recognize on this Father's Day, that man in your life who was your daddy by birth, whether where he is or where he isn't, you still get to a point where you can say, God, I recognize that you're bigger than my biological daddy or my biological mama, and I give you the glory for allowing me to be here. And I pray for my mama and I pray for my daddy that you would cover them whether they are with me or not. That helps us get to a point of healing and wholeness. And so this sermon today about God's paternity, it's like paternity suit. Yes, I know you may have been thrown off a little bit by the message about God's paternity. What is God's paternity? I run the risk of alienating half the congregation, because half the congregation, if not more or more, I know for a fact, are women. And so when we say that God is our father, do we run the risk of alienating the women in the sanctuary? Race matters. Place matters, gender matters. For in many respects, the pictures of Jesus that we've seen have been pictures that may not have looked like how he may have looked as a Middle Eastern man. And so the question is, can we see ourselves in God? As a black person, as a brown person, can I see myself in God? Did Jesus have blonde hair and blue eyes? Well, it's hard to argue that he did, but the pictures that I've seen have said such. Can I see myself as an African man, a black man of African descent? Can I see myself in God? Can I see myself in God as an Asian or Latino brother, as an indigenous Native American brother or sister? Can I see myself in God? Can I see myself in God as a rich person or a poor person? Can I see myself in God as a man or a woman? And if God is our father, where is God as my mother? Jesus makes a very bold statement in Matthew 6. When you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, our Father. And then point of fact, there are many mentionings of God as the Father, Jesus, the Son of God, mentions the Father many times. Is that somehow putting off the women within his church to say, when you pray to the Father, when you pray to God, pray our Father? I conclude that no, it is not intended to alienate the women within the congregation. But the question is, why does Jesus say, pray our Father? Well, I would submit to you that there are some traditional roles that men have played in their families that I want to suggest that maybe that there's something to be said for God the Father playing those roles within the context of Holy Scripture and how we understand our relationship to the Almighty, to the Divine. One of those roles might be the role of protector. The other may be a provider. The other one might be the role of protector. And I would submit there's a third role that I would call simply that as partner. Let's look at this first role as provider. The word provider in Hebrew, it really means Jehovah Jireh or Yireh. So everybody say Yireh with me. Yireh, like Y-E-E, Yireh. Yireh is a Hebrew pronunciation of the word provider. When we say Jehovah Jireh, we really should be saying Jehovah Yireh. There is no J in Hebrew, is a Y. And so it's Jehovah Yireh. And when we say that, we're saying that God is actually not just a provider, but God sees what I have need of. The word Yireh literally means to see. And so we believe that the God we serve is a God that can provide for us, because God sits high but he looks low. That means that he sees up ahead what you and I are about to go through, and before we get there, he gives us the tools we need in order to deal with what we're about to deal with. Amen, somebody. I don't know about you, because if I knew what was ahead of me and around the corner, I probably would not go. But thank God that I don't see, and that God does see. Because the trap that the enemy has laid around the corner up ahead, God has seen it already. The issue that the backstabber or backbiter has done on your job, God has seen it already. And because God has seen it, God can provide it, and God can take care of it even before you get there. Jehovah Yireh, my provider. How about the second term or word of protector? I believe that God not only provides my spiritual needs and my physical needs. There's a great scripture that says God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. But not only is he my supplier of need, he's also my protector. Jehovah, another compound phrase, Jehovah Nissi, means my battle axe. Come on, somebody. That means when I'm going through a battle, and how many of you know everybody's going to go through a battle? I don't care how good looking you might look today on Father's Day, brothers, you're going to go through a battle. I don't care how good looking you looked on Mother's Day, ladies, you're going to go through a battle. I don't care how easy it is or hard it is on your job or at school, young people, you're going to go through a battle. So it's not if I go through a battle, it's when I go through a battle that God can fight my battle. Well, what does that mean? That means that God literally will supply the tools that you need, and sometimes you won't even need to fight in the battle, because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the battle is not yours, it belongs to God. How many of y'all know there's some battles you're fighting that y'all need to just stop fighting and let God fight the battle? There's some mountains you're climbing that may be a little hard, but let God move the mountain. There's some doors you're trying to open by yourself, but you need to stop trying to bang on the door and just get on your knees and let God open the door. I'm reminded of little old David, who was fighting a big old Goliath, giant by the name of Goliath. All David had was a little slingshot of five rocks. But God said, David, don't you worry. It's not how big your enemy is, it's how big I am. And I've come to learn, it's not how big my enemy is, it's not how many are surrounding me, it's not how powerful they are. As big as my enemy is, I serve a bigger God. As big as the devil is, I serve a bigger God. As big as your problem is, you serve a bigger God. God is Jehovah Yireh. Say Yireh, my provider. He sees what I need, my provider. God is Jehovah Nissi, my battle axe, my one who fights my battle in times of need. So I understand, Pastor, you're saying that maybe fathers are ones who provide for their families. Okay? Protect their families. But then there's this third word that I thought about and reflected on. This third word called partner. partner is someone who recognizes that they can't do something by themselves, that everybody needs somebody. The lie of American society, quite frankly, is rugged individualism, that we can do this by ourselves. There's a saying, I can walk the white sands by myself. I'm the captain of my own ship, the master of my own fate. I don't need nobody helping me. But how many of you know everybody needs somebody? You didn't get here by yourself. I didn't get here by myself. There's a statement that I hear on WIMG radio often. The road that you're on today had to have been paved by somebody yesterday. You didn't just wake up and pop into where you are. Somebody helped you. And even if you think you did it all by yourself, if you thought real hard about it, whether you were younger or older, somebody either gave you something, made a way for you, recommended you, supported you, and if they didn't do any of that, they prayed for you. You have to hear me talk about my grandmama praying for me. She was my chief prayer officer. I didn't have a CEO. I didn't have a COO. I had a CPO. I had grandmama praying for me. And because grandmama prayed for me, I believe I am where I am and who I am today. How many of y'all have somebody pray for you? It may not have been your grandmama. It could have been your mama. It could have been your daddy. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad. Anybody glad they prayed for you? I'm so glad. I'm so glad I had a praying grandmama. I'm so glad I had a praying daddy. I'm so glad I had a praying brother or a praying sister. Somebody prayed for me. Everybody needs somebody, which portends that we live our lives in partnership. Here's the thing I love about God, about partnership. Yes, he's my provider. Yes, he's my protector. But he's also my partner. And I know that's kind of strange to say God is your partner. But let me tell you why I say that. Because there's something called the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And even though Jesus says, I pray to our Father who art in heaven, you do know that he was God on earth. And so you had Father and you had Son. And not only did you have Father and Son, but Jesus went into heaven and is coming back again. But he says, I can't go. If I go, I'm going to send you somebody. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. You're not by yourself. I'm going to send you a helper, a paraclete. The word in Hebrew means somebody who advocates for you, who stands right by your side. And so there's something called the Trinity, and we call that in theological language the Godhead. Yeah, the Godhead. It's mentioned 3 times in the Bible. Put these scriptures up. First time it's mentioned is in the book of Acts, chapter 17. It says in Acts chapter 17, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone or graven. It's something bigger than those things. The second time we see the word Godhead mentioned is in the books of Romans. In Romans chapter 1, 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. But it goes on to say, by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But those two may not be very clear. Colossians makes it very clear. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Mentioning Jesus, but he also means the Godhead, that in Jesus we understand that Jesus is the Son of God. The Son of God is the Father. And so you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that together they're working. I don't understand it. I can't wrap my mind around it. But all I can say that is real, that there's a Father up there, there's a Son that was down here, and that when the Son went back up there, he left us the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is real, and the Holy Ghost is right by my side. How many of y'all have the Holy Ghost by your side? I know you've got the Father up there, and the Son is up there with
him now. He's coming back again. But until Jesus comes back, we've got the Holy Ghost right by my side. So when I say that God is my partner, God is right by my side because I've got the Holy Ghost. And if I've got the Holy Ghost, I've got power to walk right. If I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got power to do right. If I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got power to sing right. If I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got power to preach right. If I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got power to live right. When everybody's getting on my last nerve, I say, help me, Holy Ghost. How many of you have ever said, help me, Holy Ghost? Hold my tongue. Hold my peace. Give me strength. When I don't know where my help is coming from, the Holy Ghost will pick me up and carry me through my trials and my tribulations. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't be standing here if I didn't have the Holy Ghost. Does anybody have the Holy Ghost? Listen, let me, as I close, let me say it this way. Many of you have seen a bumper sticker, I'm sure, that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. Raise your hands if you've seen that bumper sticker. Jesus. Every time I see that bumper sticker, I want to stop the car, get a big black marker out, jump out the car, go to the back of their car, and cross out co-pilot. Because how many know Jesus is not the co-pilot? Jesus is the pilot. How dare we think we can fly the plane with Jesus? You don't have enough power. You don't have enough authority. You don't have enough mind. You don't have enough sense. You don't have enough grace. He's the pilot. I'm just on the plane, going along for the ride. He's doing it all by himself. It has nothing to do with me other than to accept, I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. But partnership means that up there, there's this divine partnership that I don't always understand, of the Father working together with the Son, working together with the Holy Spirit. Not three different gods, one God. Three in one, one in three. The partnership that they, I don't understand God speak. I don't understand when the Father communicates with the Son, who communicates with the Holy Spirit, but I know what's going on. Because I wouldn't have got up this morning if they hadn't been talking to each other. I wouldn't be here if they had not been talking to each other. My enemies would have overrun me if they had not been. I can see the Father saying, Holy Ghost, get ready, because there's something about to happen. I need you to be by his side. Come on, somebody. How many of you ever been in a situation you didn't know how you got there and you didn't know how you got out, but somehow you made it over and somehow you made it through? God talking to God self. But here's the audacity that you and I have, that we can say God is not only talking up there, but God is with me right by my side. He's my partner, y'all. That means when I don't have anybody else, I've got my partner by my side. When everybody else has turned their back on you, you've got your partner, the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, by your side. When all of your sorority sisters don't want to be bothered and all of your fraternity brothers don't want to answer the phone call, you've got your partner by your side. God is my Father, but he also gives me the conclusion that he's my partner, my advocate, who's right here by my side. So on this Father's Day, I want to leave you with the conclusion that yes, God is provider, God is protector, but how many of you know I like him as my partner? Not that I'm doing any work He's doing all the work. He did it. He died on Calvary's cross. He rose again from the dead. He's here comforting me. All I can do is surrender and say, thank you, God. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. Do I have anybody here who's grateful for God's grace and grateful for God's mercy? Thank you, God, for saving a wretch like me. Thank you, God, for looking beyond my faults. Thank you, God, for making a way out of no way. Thank you, God, for giving me a second chance and a third chance. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. God bless you. God keep you. If you would stand to your feet with me. If you would stand to your feet with me. I want to invite the deacons, deaconess, and clergy to help me extend the invitation to discipleship. I want folk just to pause for a moment where they are and let's just have a word of prayer. In the name of Jesus, let's pray. Father, I thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for saving a wretch like you, like me, and all of us today. Thank you for making a way for us. Thank you for loving us when we were not lovable. Thank you for dying for us when we didn't deserve it. And now, Father, on Father's Day, we acknowledge that you are provider, protector. But God, I thank you that you're our partner. Thank you. And on Father's Day, I pray that somebody might even come to be saved. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
The men are singing, and there are three invitations I want to extend. The first is if anyone wants to come and join the church. It looks like we might have one. The second is if anyone wishes to just have special prayer. And the third and most important is if anyone wishes to give their life to Christ. We would love to have you step out of your seat, grab the hands of one of these persons who are standing, and they will be more than happy to just take you by the hand and have that word of prayer. Blanche, it's good to see you, my dear.
Looks like you're coming to join. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Y'all give it up. We have someone who's coming to join with us. It's the Blanche Levere. Go ahead and just follow the deacons and the deaconess down to the right. God be the glory. Beautiful, beautiful. Amen, amen. We got another. Bless you, sir. Follow. Bless you, my
sister.
Good to have you. Special prayer. Come on.
Oh, yes, he will.
Come on, you all give it up for these men and women who are coming either for special prayer or to join God's church. I believe there may be another one or two out there. And if that's you, I want you to let go and let God. And say, I'm not going to let anybody get in my way. I'm going to come and make this decision for Christ right now. Look at God today. Look at God. God bless you both. Isn't that beautiful?
I know he will take care of you.
Come to get prayer. All right.
In trouble.
Amen. Amen. I want you to just. Amen. Bless your sister.
Take care of you.
Is there anyone else coming, wishes to come forward?
If you're sick,
special prayer. If you want to join the church right now, this is the time to do it. We invite you to step out of your seat and give us your hand and give God your heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless you,
sweetheart.
We have another one who's coming to join. Y'all give it up for God. God is able. In the name of Jesus. Is there another? Is there another?
God,
is there another?
God will take care of you.
Is there another?
If you're sick in your body, he will.
Is there another?
God, oh, yes, he will take care.
You may be seated. God bless you. You may be seated.
Oh, yes, He will. God will take care of you. God will, God will.
Listen, still standing are men and women, deacons and deaconess and clergy who have been ordained and consecrated to assist men and women, boys and girls in this conversation about their faith and their soul. So if you're here and you have a question, I want you to grab one of these men or women who are still standing and you can just ask them any question that you have. They would love to pray with you and pray for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? So God's continued smile, may God continue to smile upon you is our prayer. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, you may take your seat.